Fact Chat.
Malcolm Turnbull announced that the laws of math do not apply here.
One of my favourite brands of comedy, Ariel, is brown people and black people making fun of white people.
Senators have been dropping like flies recently.
Shouting out the fact that in the Knowles-Carter family, women just have one name.
Back Chat on FBI Radio.
Hello, you're listening to Backchat, the freshest wrap of news and current affairs on the radio. I'm Ariel Bogle.
And I'm Osman Faruqi. Happy Saturday morning, everyone.
Yeah, so Go for Gold, of course, is the theme of FBI's supporter drive. So we've got a special themed show for you.
Wait, do we actually got a special guest in the studio? And long-term fans of the show, and I know there's a lot of day ones out there, might remember him. It's Luke Marshall. How you doing, buddy?
I'm fantastic. I'm so happy to be here, Oz.
It's good to have you back. And for the newer fans of the show who might not know who you are, Luke was a host of Backchat a few years ago. When were you the host?
Yeah, I was the bumbling sidekick of Heidi Pett back in 2014, 2015.
No, it was like a glory era of the show, I think. And we thought it'd be fun to get Luke back in as a Backchat alumni. Let's go for gold. We're talking about how great FBI is, how important the station is to supporting and giving people opportunities to make fun radio, and you certainly did that pretty well.
Oh, thank you. I mean, like FBI is a real cornerstone of music and culture in Sydney, and it's a really important thing for everybody to support, and so we can keep making quality shows here.
Awesome. And you're not just a former FBI host, you're also a very successful renewable energy tech academic worker job person. Yeah, there's more to it.
Yeah, I'm doing my PhD in renewable energy economics.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
And I've been vaguely involved in the renewables energy for quite a long time. So
cool.
And we're really excited to have a chat about that today.
Yeah, we're talking clean energy a bit later on the show, so we're going to get some of your insights as well.
Yeah, so of course, as I mentioned, this is Go for Gold, and we've got heaps of cool prizes to give away. We have 5 Mount Kimby CDs, the album Crooks and Lovers, and also 5 albums from Fatima, Yellow Memory. So call in and you could win those straight away, and also go in the draw for some heaps cool prizes, trips, gym memberships, a whole hell of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, the number is 833-22945. Call in. FBI needs people like you to support the radio station. We're volunteer run, we're not for profit, and it's supporters that form the backbone of the FBI network and help us make a good radio that you enjoy all the time.
So in keeping with the theme, we're going to do a sort of news review of the week and give out some medals of honour, some medals of dishonour, and profound dishonour at that. But first, we want to get into a good news story.
But before you get into that, there's one thing I forgot to mention that my producer has bullied me into doing, Sam Johnshire. If you do call in to support, I will do some kind of exercises because I don't often do exercises, and that will be fun to hear me pant on air. Apparently, I'm not convinced that it's such a good idea.
I think this is just a thrill for Sam. It's just punishment and thrill.
Yes, that's allegedly incentive to support.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's something else that will be going on in the studio. Anyway, sorry, Ariel.
That's all right. So the number, of course, 833-22945. Call in now. But we want to talk about Jacinda Mania. It actually came to fruition that the woman that became Labour leader in New Zealand only about 3 months ago is Prime Minister.
Yeah, second youngest PM.
Yeah, she's the second youngest at 37, which is very impressive.
But coolly for New Zealand, like, she's the third woman Prime Minister the country has had.
Yeah, Australia has had one.
And that ended really well, didn't it?
And it did end well. So one interesting thing that we observed from the sort of debate after Jacinda got in was, I don't know, people just weren't keen on capitalism in New Zealand. I feel like New Zealand's on the verge of like a socialist revolution of some sort.
I mean, I've always thought of New Zealand as like woke Australia. Like, it's like, you know, it's similar, we got a similar vibe, it's kind of prettier, and the people are nice.
It's true. So Winston Peters, he's the leader of New Zealand First Party, and it was his support that gave Jacinda the top seat. Here's him just chatting after giving her prime ministerial position.
Can I just say, far too many New Zealanders have come to view today's capitalism not as their friend, but as their foe. And they are not all wrong. That is why we believe that capitalism must regain its responsible, its human face.
Stand up, all victims of oppression, for the tyrants fear your might.
So to be honest, Winston Peters did not play the Internationale.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, Winston Peters just halfway through their press conference decided to bust it out. Good on him.
Impressive stuff from Winston. And even Jacinda herself was saying that capitalism has been a blatant failure in New Zealand when measured by child poverty.
Mm, totally. And Luke, you've spent some time in New Zealand. I've watched your Instagram posts about posts in the past. What do you reckon? Are New Zealanders, have they figured out capitalism is cooked before us?
Oh, look, I think, you know, this is probably part of this global wave of sort of anti-establishment populism that's going around the world. But, you know, it's pretty interesting. Jacinda Ardern definitely has a nice sellable version of it. And it's interesting, too, to look at how we've now got a coalition of kind of these two brands. One is kind of the slightly more nationalist and protectionist populism, and the other one is kind of Jacinda Ardern's progressive left-wing version. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in New Zealand.
Yeah, if they can marry the two, like the idea of like you've got an establishment party like Labour, but they're aligning with this populist movement, like will Winston Peters' supporters get a bit, you know, annoyed that now he's in government. And,
right,
yeah.
But he's also a supporter of lowering the immigration rate. So she will have to negotiate with that. Yeah, they will have to figure out the balance there.
The thing that I got particularly excited about, so the Greens have also thrown their support behind Jacinda Ardern and Labour. They're not formally in government, but they will guarantee supply and confidence, and they've extracted some concessions. The one that I'm particularly excited about is a referendum on legalized cannabis by the year 2020. And, I mean, again, making the maybe New Zealand and Australia comparisons is unfair because they're very cool and we're not, but it'd be cool if they get legalized cannabis by 2020.
First time I ever got offered weed was on a ski lift in New Zealand.
Really?
So
we'll be God, a much more regular event if it becomes legal.
So to move it right along, we've got to give out some other medals, and we want to give you CDs if you can call in. It's 833-22945. Sign up for an FBI membership and, you know, just support us, radio station that plays local Sydney music and also brings you sweet news and current affairs shows.
The best news and current affairs shows, to be honest.
Exactly.
The best. The Donald Trump thing I was doing. Yeah. So the medal, we're giving another medal. Medal for failed charmer of the week this week. It goes to Malcolm Turnbull for his new energy policy. Why are you laughing? What's happened, Ariel?
I just want to take a break, and I think that your mum...
My mum? What has she done?
Is a supporter.
Hey, she signed up. She's a passionate supporter, Maureen Faruqi from Beaconsfield. What a legend. Thank you for calling in and becoming supportive of FBI and supporting local radio and your son.
Is this Maureen's ploy to get Oz to do more exercise?
Probably. Oh, that means they've got to do some stuff. All right, Ariel and Luke, do you guys want to talk about clean energy policy while I do some sit-ups for a bit?
We absolutely do.
Dude, go for it.
So Malcolm Turnbull was out on the radio this week trying to sell the Liberal Party's new, I don't know, energy policy. And, you know, it wasn't the easiest time of it. Here's Malcolm with Sabra Lane on AM.
I'm sorry, Prime Minister.
What
the government,
are you sorry about? What are you apologising for?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but...
Okay, right.
The Coalition has made affordability an issue.
Yes.
These figures have come from where? There's no modelling to back it up.
They've come from the Energy Security
Board. Well, let's talk about the Energy Security Board.
So that was Malcolm and Sabra with punctuated by Osman's groans in the background.
Sorry, that's like I'm not a very fit person. That's the closest I've come to doing any kind of fitness regime was like 3 failed attempts at sit-ups.
You were struggling on the floor there just as much as Malcolm struggling in that interview with Sabra. So obviously they've got this energy plan, and it has involved the abandonment of the clean energy target, which was of course part of the Finkel review, which was launched with such sort of fanfare just a few months ago. What do you reckon, Luke? You're the energy expert in the room.
Oh, well, I mean, this is a really interesting one. We haven't seen the full details of the policy yet, but it looks like quite an interesting departure from the Liberal Party's general acceptance of market mechanisms and deregulated market mechanisms being the best way to manage energy policy. So, you know, in the electricity market, we've got a short-term market. The price of electricity changes every 5 minutes, depending on how much supply and demand there is. And there's always been this belief that, you know, if demand goes up, the price gets more expensive, people turn on some more generators, right? So this is quite an interesting departure, because what it's saying is that electricity companies that you buy your energy from, say AGL or Origin, they will now be required to have a long-term contract that basically reduces their exposure to those prices, a long-term contract with dispatchable power. Now, we don't really know what dispatchable power means in this context. It probably really just means gas-fired generators because they are the only sort of big dispatchable ones apart from hydroelectric schemes, and most of them are already contracted out. So.
Yeah, so it basically excludes wind and solar. So this is the reliability guarantee that they're asking energy retailers to make sure that they buy some share of their electricity from quote-unquote dispatchable resources.
That's right.
Coal, gas, hydro.
It's probably less coal and more gas.
Okay.
Coal is not very easily dispatchable in a short time period, whereas with a gas-fired generator, you can basically press a button and it turns on within a few seconds.
Can we talk for a second about the fact that this is called the NEG? Like, I don't know why or how they thought that was like a good idea for a policy that is already, you know, an area that they're feeling a lot of pressure on. They're like, yeah, this is the NEG. We've come up with it. We're negging the climate change. You know, when negging all Australians to just like pretend that climate change isn't real and that gas will save us.
It's a beautiful bureaucratic acronym.
It is indeed. So one part of this that people are hopeful about, I suppose, is the emissions guarantee, which is also in there.
Yeah.
And this requires retailers to keep their sort of portfolio below some level of emissions intensity. Is this a carbon tax by any other name?
Oh, I mean, look, one way or another, a carbon tax or renewable energy certificates or this scheme is a mechanism to make electricity companies give more money to renewable energy so they can have long-term contracts. So by that thinking, yes, maybe it is a carbon tax by another name. We don't know. What is interesting, though, is that the forecasting in this paper that we saw out of the Energy Security Board, it basically doesn't include, doesn't say that we're going to put any more baseload, like big renewable energy in up until 2030.
Oh, that sounds fine, you know?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. So, look, renewable energy is going to happen one way or another. Either it's going to be on people's rooftops and people putting batteries in their garages, or it's going to happen with big direct investment. So it's a bit worrying that this plan doesn't really factor that in at all.
it's an understatement of the day.
It is a bit worrying. And I mean, let us never forget the irony of the free market party making sure that the market has as many rules as possible.
To
stop renewable
to
energy
prop up
and protect coal. Yeah, yeah.
Gas and coal. So the phones have been going gangbusters while we've been chatting energy.
Oh, no. That means more sit-ups.
So many sit-ups. Let's do one at a time, okay, just so we don't want to kill you. But shout out to Jenna from Mossman. She has become a member, and she is now in the running for heaps of great prizes and also gets the CD. So congrats to Jenna.
Yeah, Jenna, you legend. 833-22945. That's the number you got to call to become an FBI Radio supporter. And why wouldn't you? It's the coolest thing you can do in Sydney. Like, Sydney's a pretty cool city. FBI is the coolest thing about Sydney. And if you want to become the coolest person in Sydney, that wasn't going anywhere. But yeah, support. Sign up. Support us. Help us out. Thanks
That's
to everyone.
That's the kind
of
logic you get on FBI.
That's
Radio.
It. Thanks for supporting me to talk like this on Saturday mornings.
So we've got another medal we have to give out. This is, I guess, it's a medal for sad but true. Medal for revealing what we thought to be true has been true all along. This is basically, how crappy is the gender breakdown at all Australia's summer music festivals?
Yeah, the music website Pile Rats compiled like a really fantastic bit of research looking at all the big festival lineups for this year, for the festivals that have just gone and the big summer festivals that are coming up around the corner. And they found, like you said, Ariel, disappointing and depressing, but sadly predictable results when it came to gender and cultural diversity. So the average Australian music festival is 68% all male acts, 23% all female acts, and 9% mixed gendered. And when you look at Laneway, Groove in the Moon, Listen Out, they were slightly better. They had less than 60% of their lineups which featured all male artists. But when you look at cultural diversity, things are kind of worse.
Even worse.
So on average, 80% of Australian music festivals surveyed had all white acts, which is extraordinary when you think about the kind of artists that are popular around the world. Like you look at the Billboard hits, for example, there is actually, I think right now in the top 10, a majority of non-white artists there.
I'm curious about. I'm wondering, because Axel, you know, these sort of music festivals, say Splendor in the Grass, they want an emphasis on maybe India, big indie acts. Mm. So is the gender and race problem an indie music problem rather than a pop music problem?
That's a really good question. That's really interesting. I think it might be in the race aspect of it, because, you know, certain genres do skew certain ways when it comes to race for a whole variety of reasons.
Right.
I don't think it's an excuse when it comes to gender. I'm interested in your guys' perspective on this. I don't think there's evidence that, like, indie genre has less women in it.
At the end of the day, the music scene is very image-focused still. And if you've got people dictating what image is popular and not popular, they're going to have their own biases. And sadly, it seems like the music industry is still kind of managed by, like, lots of young, rich, white dudes. Mm. So maybe until...
So you can blame Triple J, is what you're saying.
I'm not gonna go on the record.
You coward.
Yeah, but places like FBI have a role to play too. We, you know, try and play local music, but it, you know, there is a problem even when booking Australian acts that we don't see a lot of female Australian acts represented at festivals, let alone female women of colour, which is also a big issue. I thought it was pretty incredible that Splendor in the Grass had a lineup that was 89% white.
I think, totally. And there's also been another issue, and it's maybe exacerbated this. It's kind of condemning of Australia, but in the last couple of years, there's been this trend for festivals to have fewer big international artists and more Australian artists.
Mm.
And it seems to be, just from looking at these lineups in the last couple of years, the big, like, you know, people of colour acts that have been on have come from overseas, whereas the Australian artists are the big white Australian names.
Mm.
So as it's become more expensive to bring those acts in, the festivals have gotten wider. But what does that say about Australia's music scene, that all of our big bands are dudes and white?
Yeah, I guess, like, these things are never occur in a vacuum. These festivals are dealing with a pipeline problem too. A lot of women are, I don't know, pushed out of the music scene, I suppose. There's, I mean, let's not get into Harvey Weinstein. That's just been talked about over and over, but I think there is an issue that lots of women and, you know, people from diverse backgrounds go to clubs and they don't see themselves on stage. And when you don't see yourself, you can't imagine yourself there. And so it's a really hard cycle to break, but obviously one we have to try a bit harder to.
Yeah, I think the final thing that I want to say, the music festival thing, I didn't realize this until a few weeks ago, but in America, a lot of the big music festivals do surveys, not just on the diversity of their lineups, but on the diversity of the participants at the festival, and basically started as this campaign to try and figure out whether there were, like, barriers that made music festivals less diverse than the rest of the population. And there's wildly different, like, statistics depending on the kind of festival that exists. But some festivals have responded to the fact that they might not look like America by coming up with different ways to make sure that they are representative. So lowering fees and all that sort of thing. I would love to see the numbers on music festivals in Australia, because my personal experience would suggest that Splendor in the Grass is, like, super, super unrepresentative of what this country actually looks like.
Yeah, I can imagine you have to fly to Byron, like, you have to take time off work probably to go there. I can imagine that sort of excluding certain groups.
Yeah, when I like meet one other brown person at the festival, I'm like, yeah, high five, man, we did it, we're here, let's look out for each other.
Shame. So, you know, we have bad music festivals in Australia, but we have good supporters on FBI.
Hell yeah.
And one of them is Omar from Beaconsfield. Thanks so much for becoming a member.
What a legend, what a guy, what a dad.
What a dad indeed.
Mum and dad.
Do you have to do a sit-up?
Where are your parents? Where are your parents, Sarah? Where are they calling? Luke, what are your folks
Michael
doing?
Michael and Peter, please call in.
Michael and Peter, call in. Bob and Robin, what are you doing? Give us a buzz. 833-22945. Go for gold.
So we also have to give out... This is a mixed bag, this one, because I want to give a Medal of Honor to Lisa Wilkinson. She did it for the sisterhood, negotiated salaries like a boss, basically. Mm. Congrats to her. But Medal of Dishonor to the Australian media for covering it as much as they did.
Well, are we getting the Medal for Dishonor now?
No, we're fair and balanced, you know, okay. like just like Fox News.
Was there other news this week, Ariel, that you think we should have, like, the media should have covered instead?
Yes, okay, Lisa left Channel 9 for Channel 10 because, allegedly, Channel 9 would not match her salary with Karl Stefanovic, her co-host.
Mm.
But in the meantime, two neutron stars collided and sent gravitational waves back to Earth.
What?
One of the most significant scientific discoveries of the past decades, and was basically ignored in favor of, like, putting up weird photos of Lisa when she was 20.
Is that a thing that they did?
Yes.
Really?
We would dig him up, yeah.
And to be fair, the stars exploded like 130 million years ago. So maybe that's the excuse that they gave.
And about 1.3 billion light years away.
Yeah, yeah. Luke, you're a massive science tech nerd. Like, what was your feeling or reaction to this sort of story?
I just think it's deeply exciting and very sad that it wasn't really talked about more and explained more in the mainstream media.
I mean, can you, like, I'll admit that I paid a lot more attention to Lisa Wilkinson than I did to...
No one wants to explain this.
I can't explain this to you right now. That's the thing. You're all like, it's really important. We should all care about it. But none of you know what this actually means.
Well, that's fair enough. Can I distract you by playing the sound of two black holes colliding?
Yeah.
Here you go. How sick is that?
So I thought you were going to play Supermassive Black Hole by Muse. This is cooler.
This is cooler.
That's a real recorded
sound.
That's
a real, recording made at the LIGO Center where these gravitational waves are spotted.
Okay, how are they doing that, man? Like, how are they recording that? What's the science there? I don't understand that. I don't believe it. I'm calling BS on the whole thing. I'm a truther on this black hole thing.
I assume it's kind of like an audio rendering of what the waves were that they detected.
Right. So they detect waves.
I mean,
waves.
Exactly, the sound can't travel through space, obviously.
That's my point, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for that reminder.
Yeah.
I'm totally.
Yeah, did I just explain the bleedingly obvious?
No, I had no idea. I was talking rubbish and you real scientific fact.
Yeah.
Just accidentally supported my point, so I'm on board with it.
But this is a rant I can go on and on about. In Australian media, we are criminally underreporting science news, technology news, medical news, and I think at risk we're sort of creating a public that is, just not fluent with these kinds of issues. They don't know when, you know, if someone claims that dark chocolate can cure cancer, like, people don't have the skills to analyze that information because the media isn't giving it to them. And so we're sort of treating science as like pop science and not real science.
And there were some Australian academics and scientists involved in this, right?
Yeah, heaps. Some Australian sort of astronomical centres did a lot of work on this project. So if you go down to Canberra or something, you can go check out the places where they receive these kinds of signals.
Cool. And I saw the government put out a media release, which is like, we funded these things. And, you know, the Turnbull government funded this, like, taking credit for these neutron stars collapsing. But, like, the government is also desperately trying to strip funding from research and education. So they kind of can't have it both ways. Like, if you...
They'll have a crack.
They'll have a crack. They're definitely having a crack.
Yeah, medal for seizing the moment.
Well done.
So we have another fabulous supporter. Their name is Ari Livson. He's from Miller's Point. Thanks so much, Ari. You're in the draw for heaps of great prizes and you get a CD.
Yeah, Ari, well done.
That's sick. All right.
Favorite segment, Ariel.
I know.
Coming up.
Here it is.
Make the noise.
It's Backchat Roulette.
Backchat Roulette.
I said roulette.
Say it again.
Roulette.
Yeah. Where we all pick a story that we thought went underreported and we talk about it. What's yours?
Well, mine's not a story, but I just want to give a shout out.
In the document, it just says, hello, Chinese sex.
It's just say, just to ignore that X on the end.
Okay.
Good Lord. The app is Hello Chinese, and I just want to give a shout out to that app because it's teaching me Mandarin in quite a fun, gamified way.
Right, cool.
Mandarin, yeah. If you want to learn Mandarin, just if you're going on a trip there, which I am.
You're heading to China.
And you want to learn some basics and not look like a fool trying to pronounce things.
Yeah, yeah.
Try this app.
Awesome. What is fun about it? Why does it make
it... Well, it's just got little, you know, just... It's just not boring. There are, like, word
it's
games.
It's fun because it's not boring.
when you're learning languages, sometimes, like, learning grammar and stuff is very repetitive. But
for
this
sure.
sort of gamifies it.
Awesome.
And makes it a bit more engaging than normal.
Cool. Hello Chinese. We'll check it out. Luke, what do you got for us?
Well, I've got a story from our favourite secessionist movement. Prince Leonard Casley. The man who 47 years ago attempted to have his farm secede from, I think, Western Australia in order to avoid paying taxes. He's lost an appeal against an order to pay more than $3 million in tax.
No, Prince Leonard.
Oz, you've met Prince Leonard, is that right?
I've interacted with Prince. So he's the prince of a province called the Hutt River Principality. And it's funny because like WA always threatened to secede, where this guy's like, I'm seceding from WA. but a few years ago, he decided that he wanted to build a university in the Hutt River Principality. To be clear, this is not like a... It's just like a big empty patch of land with like his farm and his family on it, I think. Mm. But they've got passports and currency and that sort of stuff. And he basically said, I want to build a university. I was involved in student activism at the time. And we thought, yeah, you know what? Australia, like, let's invest in higher education. Let's support this guy with his campaign for a university. so he really liked it. He sent us like these little statements. He bestowed some kind of honor on us. I can't remember the exact. I might be like a knight of the Hutt River Principality. I don't know. Maybe you should all start calling me Sir Osman Faruqi now. But
does this mean you're liable for some of that tax bill?
Oh, damn. Yeah. No, like I totally avow myself, disavow myself.
Too late, Soros.
But it's a fascinating story, the Hutt River thing. It's very funny, and people should Google it and find out more.
It's very sad now that you know, the Australian government has stolen $3 million from the state there. They won't maybe be able to fund their public university.
Don't tread on me. Yeah. How dare they? My roulette thing, I've done this before, but it's a Taylor Swift thing. but it's not the reaction already. The text line is blowing up. Please stop Oz from talking about it. Anyway, she dropped the third single off her album Reputation. It's called Gorgeous, and it's not a bad song, but I like it's so funny now that every time she does anything, the way that it gets interpreted, and I'll admit that I'm partly responsible for part of that in-depth analysis, but even this week, it got a bit out of control. So obviously, Taylor Swift and Kanye West have been feuding for a long time. We've covered that before. We won't get into the detail. But her track was called Gorgeous, and the first headlines when that was released on MTV, on Billboard, everywhere, were like, Taylor Swift in another dig at Kanye West with her new single? And I was like, what are you talking about? Then, like, the whole guts of the story was Kanye West, one of his, like, 100 songs is also called Gorgeous.
Oh, my God.
And so the line that a lot of music websites are running was that she was digging into Kanye West by also calling her song Gorgeous. And I'm the kind of person that sort of thing normally would be like, yeah, you know, screw you, Taylor Swift. But even in this instance, I was like, this is terrible. Like, let her make music. This is a good song. It's got nothing to do with Kanye.
Is the song good, though?
You don't like it?
Nah.
Really?
I think
it's the best one that's come out. Maybe my expectations have just been like...
And I have, like, enjoyed a Taylor Swift song in my day.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie. But I've just been very disappointed by the past three tracks.
Really? Interesting.
They just feel not current.
That's interesting.
They feel kind of behind.
I got kind of Lorde vibes of this one. It does seem like she's... Yeah, she's not reinventing the wheel like she used to, maybe? Yeah, fair enough.
She used to have such a strong persona and sort of new message each album, and this one I can't like feel what it is.
Yeah I mean, we say this every week, we could talk for hours about Taylor Swift,
but... Yeah, we better move swiftly along because we have a new supporter.
Yeah,
I think I might be related to this one. It is Michael from Surrey Hills. Thanks so much, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
We're gonna give you a CD.
What a legend CD in the draw for the major prizes.
What happened to your push-ups?
Oh, I've been doing them.
Oh
yeah,
that's why he sounds so breathless.
So we got time for on the show. Luke, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here again.
Fantastic to have your perspectives, and it was good to chat.
Thank you very much for having me.
You'll come back maybe sometime?
Oh, man, yeah.
The listeners loved it. They told us they loved it. special thanks as well to our producers, Sam Johnshire, Amelia Zhao, and Max Chalmers, who's back, part of the Backchat team. What a legend. Agenda is up next. Remember, if you want to support FBI... you can do it by calling 833-22945. Become a supporter, send a few dollars our way, and help us make fun, exciting radio and support Sydney's arts and culture scene.